Welcome once again to the Florida Creatives Podcast. This is episode number 31. I am your host, Ryan Price, and we have a guest joining us over the phone today from, you have to tell me where in a second, from Southwest Florida. It's Michelle Laredo Chase.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
So where are you right now? Are you in Fort Myers or Naples, or where are you from?
I am in Fort Myers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that sort of whole area down there, Southwest Florida, that's kind of your turf. You have a lot going on in that area, definitely around social media for sure, and lots of the new internet communication. You've been involved with Bar Camp Southwest Florida, with something that you call Junior Camp. You just mentioned to me a couple minutes ago something about TEDx in Fort Myers. So we got a lot to talk about. You've got a lot of things going on. Why don't you start really quickly with a bio about yourself? Like, what got you to where you are now? And then we'll sort of talk about some of your projects.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've said this before, because I've had a couple of people say, you're an early adopter. And I say, well, number one, I don't like labels anyway, but no, I'm not. I'm everything far from it. You know, we didn't have computers. You know, we still had to take typing class in high school and in college. You know, I was very, very happy the day that I bought my brother word processor, you know, because that's all we had, you know. So I'm really outside. Your generation, So I always worked in business, in just business development, which was all about relationships for me. And so when I resigned from my last position in 2006, I decided to begin freelancing. And as I started to research how I was going to do this, I stumbled upon, at that time in 2006, the world of social networks. You know, of course, computers and the internet was new to me. I kind of got, turned on to search a lot earlier than that through my work as a civil process server, officer of the court here in Lee County, Florida. And back then, that's how we located a lot of people who kind of hid themselves. Of course, it was easier to do then than it is now, that's how it all got started. It started through my research, and that's how my business was born, through that research. Just wanting to build out my freelancing business,
All right, well, so tell us a little bit about that. You have a company, it's called Ghost Executive Group, and what sorts of things do you do, and then... what sorts of people do you serve, I guess?
Right. That was probably the hardest part, as I built the business and formulated the business model, I was going into new territory. And so I knew what I wanted. I knew what the web I knew what the trends were going to be before, the general public did. So what I really did the first couple of years is really educate myself. And, when I say I spent 16 hours a day in front of the computer, I did. That was my investment into my new venture. And I learned, and I watched, and I learned, and I watched, I especially started paying attention to some of the brands that were using Twitter, way back when, and that's all I did. I just studied. I felt like I was back in school, And so through studying and through watching, I went ahead and I formulated my business model. And early on, it was natural for me, because of my own mindset, to think of the local demographic. And so, of course, I thought, my mind only went to the small business, small businesses, because that's all I really was ever used to doing. And so as I developed my business model and I created, my own brand along with my own personal brand, I it was natural for me to progress outside the small business. So we don't really deal with small businesses, although I do a lot of pro bono work for and a lot of e-education programs, and I try to teach small business owners how to use that. That's not something I monetize, though. That's more for me. It's more of a community outreach thing that I do. But for us, it's mid-sized to large enterprise that we focus on, and what we do is we bring these businesses or these companies, and we introduce them to the social web, and you know, through getting to know them and getting to know what their corporate culture is and what is most suitable for that particular company. You know, we decide on what tools are going to be using to do that.
So what's a typical request? Like, when someone finds you, do they say, you know, we know that, you know, we've had a website for the last 10 years. Now what? I mean, what sorts of questions are they asking you?
Actually, no, because, you know, the couple, you know, I'm all about quality, not quantity. Okay, number one, I started off very, very small. I bootstrapped my company, and I didn't have any kind of large staff to assist me. So I was a one-person show, and I leveraged freelancers to help me get the job done. You know, and I still do. Although now I am expanding and finally hiring. You know, because of client needs, you know. And so, you know, you get a good client that's willing to invest in something, and then, you know, I could begin hiring. And that was something very, very critical for me, you know, over the past 2 years, is to really, you know, write those job descriptions and you know, figure out who it was and kind of start headhunting before I needed it, you know, which I knew that when the time came, I was going to have to act fast. You know, it was going to be something that, you know, if I got that client that I really wanted and that was willing to make a significant investment, I was going to have to be ready to hire immediately. And so, you know, I started, and it was very hard. It's very hard to find people who are out there looking for work to say, you know, okay, I'll be willing just to, you know, 1099 this until, you know, something better happens. A lot of people don't care to do that. You know, they really need the security of full-time employment. So, you know, and it's just a natural kind of weeding out, you know. And so finding that those ultimate people that are going to be on board when you need them to be on board, that's the challenge, you know. But that's done through relationships, you know, relationship building. And also, you know, I think conveying the vision of your company is really incredibly important, you know, for that, because, you know, if somebody sees and is able to realize what the vision is for your company, then they're going to be more than likely to come on board, you know. So, yeah. So that was that, you know. And to answer your question, I guess, I really don't go out and aggressively seek. I mean, I have my brand monitoring channels, you know, all established, or my monitoring station, my listening stations, and, you know, I'm seeing who's out there. But the couple of really key clients that I've ended up having found me, and they didn't find me through neat ways that, I mean, they literally just popped up in front of my face and said, "Hi, I found you, and I'd like to go ahead and begin talking about doing business." So, and they came up in the oddest places, you know. So, you know, it wasn't through Twitter. It's not like they had an active presence on Twitter or even Facebook or anywhere. You know, they literally contacted me out of the blue. So, you know, that's the ultimate, you know. And it's funny because if you convey that to relationships, our personal relationships, you know, they always say, especially in the world of women, you know, don't go looking for Mr. Wonderful, you know, wait for Mr. Wonderful to come to you. And I think it's almost the same thing when you're looking for, you know, in business, you know. So those have ended up being my best clients.
Yeah, the ones that I mean, definitely. I mean, a lot of interesting things have happened out of, you know, my being very active up here in Central Florida with the Florida Creatives, I just you know, do this. I have people try to get them to show up and have meetups. I don't try to tell them how to do their, whatever it is they're doing. I don't try to give them special instructions. I just say, come here, do this. I try to write some interesting blog posts so that people will come and find the website. I try to invite new people into Facebook, and if they're interested, they show up. And then other things have happened, like just lately, we're getting ready to open a co-working space up here in Central Florida, and all of a sudden I'm in the newspaper, 3 times in a month, and I didn't ever ask anybody for that. It just happened. So it's really interesting the kinds of things that, like you say, if you just sit back and be yourself, the kinds of things that will come to you. It's really fun.
And that's actually the shift, and that's the mind shift that I like talking about, because sometimes I think that a lot of people get so caught up on marketing, and they have, and that's their mindset. I have to do, how am I going to get a customer? How am I going to get this customer? And they're just focusing on chasing, the rabbit. And what they don't realize is that the carrot, you have to make your, you have to create you. And I think that when you really, it just goes back to everything that everybody has always said. If you're just putting yourself out there and you're sharing relevant information and you're showing, the world, or just putting it out there, what your gifts and talents are, that, the rabbit will come to you. So
here's a really interesting, anecdote for that. There's recently, someone that I met, and I sort of ended up reaching out to her because I noticed she's, writing this interesting stuff over here. I go, I search for her name. She shows up on Facebook, and her photo, instead of being a picture of herself, is a picture of 3 dogs. And I said, all right, who is this woman? Why does she have pictures of dogs? And then I go looking, and I realize that of her, like 50 Facebook profile photos, probably 45 of them are of the dogs. And then I find out she has a blog where she writes about her dogs and training her dogs and dog news, and she's got basically a dog owner community for a specific breed of dogs. And I actually used to work at a social networking site where we dealt all with animals, and I also have a girlfriend who is in the veterinary profession. So there's just all of these connections where I'm going, this person's really interesting, and I don't know anything about her except for, some things that she's written and that she loves her dogs. And I just said, here's somebody who's really being herself. I'm going to reach out. And I think if you're just sitting there and saying, I'm an expert, I know how to talk to people, I, upload 5,000 photos, it's not always the best. It's like, tell me what those photos are of. Tell me what you're really passionate about. And that's more interesting to me than where you went to school.
It is. It's a big mind shift. I'm looking forward to Drupal Camp, because that's going to be the focus of what I'm going to be talking about. And it's about community. It's about it's about mind shift. It's about the mind shift and clarity of purpose, community, and collaboration. And it's so much different than the old ways of doing those things. So,
Yeah, definitely.
you have to have clarity of purpose, and you have to define that purpose. And the purpose should not be, I have a number sign before it. It really shouldn't.
Yes. So.
So, what do you want to talk? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? What is your purpose? Because we all can get a job, and you have to love what you do. So if you're in business for yourself, or if you're freelancing, or even if you're employed, you have to. What is your purpose? What is the ultimate purpose of your work? And when you can get that center, then I think that everything starts falling into place.
Yeah, so speaking of jobs, you just recently started I guess it's mostly a Facebook group, right? But a community for people that are maybe looking for work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's the Back to Work Southwest Florida, and I have localized, I have definitely closed that into the Southwest Florida region, and intentionally so. I guess I could have done it, just back to work, but I've been in this area, I've left twice. I left for school, and I left once before to relocate a company. I was gone for another 3.5 years or whatever, but always come back. And, I relocated here with my parents in the 70s. So these are my stomping grounds, and I care very, very deeply about the area. And so it just kind of happened accidentally again. I had a friend of mine who's a business owner that was in dire need to fill a position, dire need to fill a position of an office manager. And then that same day, I had somebody contact me, another friend, saying, I need a job, and I need a job now. And I was like, I know a lot of people, and I really need to see if I can hook people up, and how can I do that without, it certainly isn't going to be anything I monetize. It's not what I do for a living. I have no HR experience whatsoever. How am I going to do this, without it bleeding my time? And so I decided to take advantage of the new Facebook groups and just kind of build a little community, invite a few people. What I did was I created a not-for-profit outreach, social community outreach initiative of Ghost Executive Group. So that's our little initiative because I totally believe in giving back. I couldn't be in business without having something like that in place. I just don't. I wouldn't feel good about myself if I wasn't. Like I had mentioned earlier, I do an awful lot of pro bono work and kind of was doing this and doing this and doing that. And it's like there was a focus there. So this is now our official not-for-profit outreach initiative, and we're focusing on just educating and teaching and training job seekers on how to effectively search for jobs now with and leverage technology to do so. And then also, it's also created a space for employers in the area to go ahead and post jobs. So, and then this little closed group, they can upload their docs, whether it's resumes or job postings, and everybody can kind of sit and pass it on. And I actually have a whole nother idea that I'm going to be exploring and seeing if we can work something out. I can't talk about it right now, but it might be also a cool little tool to do that, And what it is about, it's about getting people making people aware that they can easily go ahead and create a notification that there's a job opening somewhere. So if I go to a friend's office building today, and I'm in the elevator, and somebody next to me happens to be saying that they need to fill a position, I can basically immediately create a notification that would upload somewhere. So that's, like I said, I don't really want to talk about it right now because I don't know if it's doable or whatever, but I'm trying to just create some kind of environment where that can happen really quick and people can share that kind of information very quickly around here. So,
Neat.
yeah.
So that's definitely, it's a cool thing that hopefully, it's one of those things you start and you sort of give it a push and sort of gains momentum on its own. It's definitely the right time for that for job seeking to be happening. I think Florida's unemployment rate and sometimes is even a little bit higher than other places. But I saw a really interesting quote, I think it was just today, of all of the things that Florida may have going against it, we were the only state that in the last week did not get any snow.
I know. Thank heaven, because I just made a Facebook post that said, I'm out in the sun right now. I am. I'm sitting out in the sun right now because I feel like a lizard because I get so cold. And anybody that knows me very well knows that I just I can freeze. I mean, I've been known to be on the beach in August, and it's just a little bit cool, and to need a little sweater, you know, because that's just me, and I've always been like that. But I feel like a darn lizard, because I get so flipping cold here. Like, last night was way too cold for me, and I have to, like, warm up in the sun, you know, like an alligator or something, whatever.
Well, you live in the right place for that, for sure.
I would, because I don't like going outside when it's cold at all. And if I lived in a northern or a cold weather climate, I would definitely have to hibernate. I would definitely have to hibernate. No, I know that for certain.
So, Michelle, you have, would you say that you're the person who started Bar Camp in Southwest Florida? Can you tell us a little bit about that and your junior camp project?
Yeah, we're having, you know, we switched last year. It was January 31st. In fact, I had to upload or go ahead and put some kind of press release together announcing that, you know, of course, obviously it's not going to be, and put something on the blog that said it's not going to be in January. You know, January was a very, very tough month, and just like most of Florida, especially the South, you know, so in Orlando too, it's the same, and I mean, South Florida, Southwest Florida, you know, we're, you know, even though it has changed through the years, and we don't really have the seasons that were as significant as, you know, as we had in the past, our public relations people, you know, we do have a lot of winter residents here, okay? So we have a large retirement community here in Southwest Florida, and most of them are winter residents, and they go back, you know, they go back after it gets warmer up north. And so the public relations professionals and all of those nonprofit initiatives really are just full throttle, you know, during the winter months while the guests are here, you know, while the people who support these initiatives are here. You know, they're not going to have it in the summer when they're home, you know. So January wasn't the greatest month because there's just a lot going on here in Southwest Florida in January still. So because we tie in junior camp, and I'll get back to talking about what junior camp is, it was really important to also have it during the school year before school lets out. So we decided on May, and it is going to be now an annual event in May. It was always going to be an annual event. We just shifted it from January to May. And, last year was our first. It was our maiden voyage, and we had a super, super team. The entire team is going to be on board this year, which to me, as any kind of coordinator or team lead on Bar Camp here, that's just, you know, that's what any leadership wants to see, is their team coming back, because that means that the job is done. Because to me, when an event organizer for a grassroots initiative, it's not about the success of the event depends on whether or not your team really had a great time doing it. And so to me, that's more important than the amount of people that showed up or the amount of presenters we had. It's that my team really loved being part of the team. And so to have them back is just, that's it. That's the cream right there to me. And so they're all going to be coming back, and we're going to bolster that up. We have some, a lot of community members that have said, you know, I really want to be involved this year. And it's like, okay, because we have a lot of work to do. So they're more than welcome. And I guess, you know, about a year and a half before we actually had Bar Camp, I had my friend Homer Gaines, Circlebox, on Twitter. I said, you know, we have to have a Bar Camp here. And he was like, yes, we do. So a year and a half later, we actually made that happen. And we started talking about it. Homer designed the logo for Bar Camp Southwest Florida. And so we created a Twitter account. And I started tweeting a little bit from it. And I got the attention of a Lee County school district teacher who said, Bar Camp, where? Here. I want to be involved. Tell me more. And we went ahead and exchanged phone numbers. And during our first conversation, you know, she's talking about her being a school teacher, and I'm a mother of four, and have always been very, very active in the kids' education and different things that they've been involved in. And so it was just a light bulb kind of popped up in my head, and I said, Gab, let's do a junior camp. Let's go ahead and run it parallel with Bar Camp South of Florida. And that's how that came about. So Deb Hansen was the coordinator for the junior camp portion of Bar Camp South of Florida, and it was awesome. So we had seven schools participate.
So in a regular bar camp, you sort of start the day with your, you know, your blank schedule. People are going to bring their subject that they want to talk about. What is similar and different about a junior camp?
It was set up exactly like bar camp, but it wasn't intermingled. You know what I mean? It was very separate. They had their own board. They had their own rooms, even though some of the graduating seniors that were really already Microsoft certified through one of the schools here, Paul Lawrence Dunbar High, was the very first school in the world that Microsoft partnered with and started certifying juniors and seniors and high school juniors and seniors with Microsoft certifications. So these kids are bright and they're sharp, and they're some of our future engineers. And so, of course, the adults, were like inviting them to present, you know, and some of the adults were going ahead and sitting in on their sessions because they just had a lot of stuff, you know, to offer up. So it was really cool. And we had little kids, you know, we had a couple of elementary schools, we had a couple of middle schools and a couple of high schools. And like I said, they had separate rooms or separate board, and the only intermingling was with some of the older kids and the adults wanting
So what are some of the topics that the kids of, you know, elementary age kids of Southwest Florida brought to their bar camp?
Uh-huh. What they did, and you know, some of it was videos and storyboards. So they brought in, English, you know, and I think there was some social studies focus and whatever they were doing, working on whatever projects they had been working on that year, as far as actually creating digital storyboards. You know, that was some of the presentation. That was a couple of presentations. And, of course, there was, you know, the focus for the high schoolers were basically, it ran the gamut, you know, between hardware, software, you know, development, design. It's the same as the adults.
So almost like a show and tell, but with several schools participating instead of just one classroom?
Yeah, but it was more than show and tell. I mean, they really got into, you know, how they did it and, you know, were open. It was a lot of open discussion, question and answer. And, you know, the other kids from the other schools wanted to know how these other kids did what they did and what they used to do it. And so it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it sounds like a great event. I would love to see more of those happen.
Yeah, Yahoo Dev actually had contacted me afterward and wanted to meet with me at Bar Camp Miami, which I was not able to go. I had intended on going but wasn't. But they really wanted to do a little feature video on it because they were pretty impressed with it. So.
Very cool, very cool.
Maybe we'll have the opportunity to do that this year.
And I know... you know, so where in this timeline do you then also, on top of all these other projects, kick off doing a social media club in Southwest Florida?
Social media club Southwest Florida. You know, we have a very large steering committee. And, you know, I think we're 12 or 13 people on the steering committee. And for the first year, we really didn't have any defined roles or responsibilities. You know, just everybody kind of did what they needed to do to produce each month's meeting. And Gail is a tremendous force within the club, Gail LaMarche. She is the marketing director for one of the largest and oldest law firms here in Southwest Florida. She's just a phenomenal event coordinator and meeting planner. And so she was able to really, really kick that off very, very well and wrap things up. You know, definitely is a dot your I's, cross your T's kind of gal, and she's an amazing, always pulling off meetings that are really tight, you know. Dean is a superior businessman and kind of handled, you know, just I think some of the, you know, some of the presenters. So he did a lot of, you know, he's great with community and building those relationships within the community, the business community here in Southwest Florida. And Carrie Goldsmith, Dean is with HBK. He's a managing partner with HBK. So he's great in building those kinds of partnerships that's needed. Carrie Goldsmith, again, she's a public relations. She's a communications professional. And she also is with HBK, and she's just an amazing woman who also was on the VarCamp Southwest Florida team, so leadership team. So Carrie always asks the questions and uncovers the stuff that nobody else thinks of, you know. And so, you know, it takes everybody, a lot of people with a whole lot of different skill sets to, you know, to make something, to run the machine, you know. So, you know, of course, Homer Gaines, again, is on the Southwest Florida, or on in the Social Media Club Steering Committee. We have Chrissy Chelsea, who is Punk Lawyer on Twitter, and, of course, she's an attorney. She's a copyright attorney. So we have her on board this year. And so it's going to be evolving. You know, we really have to have our kickoff meeting and figure out what, you know, with a new organization, it's, you have to allow it to kind of grow. And sometimes it doesn't grow. Sometimes it just kind of sits, you know. And those are the times, and it has to do that. I think that's even in business, even, at, you know, like I said, you know, during the 3 years that I've been building my company, you know, you have to, that evolution, you can't force it sometimes. Sometimes it just won't be forced. You know, you just have to kind of sit in it, you know, and just allow that growth to occur. I think that with the club, with our club, I think that the focus started out among big business. And I think now that social media has gone mainstream, and we had the attention of, you know, of course, the media industry. We had, you know, public relations, advertising, you know, all of these people, you know, that were interested in, so what is the social media stuff we're hearing. Now it's kind of over the past 2 years, of course, now it's more mainstream. And so I think those organizations and those industries are becoming, you know, more interested in learning how to apply social media within that specific industry. So it's almost like the social media club. You know, we're a tremendous small business community here in Southwest Florida. And I think through the feedback that we got over the past year and a half was a lot of small business owners saying, help me. I need to pay my rent next month. How can I do that through social media? How can I do that through Facebook? So I think that we actually have to do a shift, you know, because we really don't have to serve the bigger business in the area, because the bigger business is already taking care of themselves and they already have the resources available. What I really think we need to do is really focus on outreach to the small business community. So I think that's where we are with the club.
Well, very neat. You know, Annette, and one thing I want to make sure that we talk about is sort of the, how do you say, like, how do you see, especially if you've tried this in other areas, is there a particular, you know, formula to getting people involved, people to show up to events, people to respond to posts in Naples, in Fort Myers, in Southwest Florida, that maybe is different than other parts of the country, other parts of the world, other parts of the state? Like here, I know that in Central Florida, you have a lot of people who, rather than try to find something and join, they're going to just start their own thing. So you see fewer sort of like huge groups, but lots of partnerships between groups. Because I started, Florida Creatives 4 years ago, and then somebody started a social media club 6 months ago, and now we're going to start doing events together, for example. But neither of us wants to give up what we're doing, but we're happy to work together now that we both feel like we have something established. But during that sort of like startup phase, it's sort of like, no, I'm going to do my thing, and then you're going to do your thing. But if you realize that pattern with people, that they're all very protective of the things they've created, you can sort of start to talk to people in a certain way that gets them sort of interested and excited because they see how it can help their effort. So do you see anything like that in your area, or do you see a different, like, is there just tons of money floating around, so you just talk to the right person and now they, throw money at it, or how does it work in Southwest Florida?
You're actually hitting on a hot button for me and my personal soapbox because it's something that I find very, very frustrating. It's one of the most frustrating things that I face on a day-to-day basis because it's very, very frustrating because, people are, human nature, it makes us very, very possessive. And just normal. You wouldn't be a human being if you didn't feel possessive over something that you create or that's something you're passionate about or even, in joint venture, in partnerships, or whatever. So we're talking about the human psyche. And of course, we all know that we're very strange animals like that. But why it frustrates me is because, again, I'm going to use the term mind shift. It's my absolutely favorite term to use because it really, really is that. And if we're going to step beyond the boundaries that we have created for ourselves through many, many, many generations of doing business, then we are going to have to shift the way we think about things. And when you open yourself up to, and nobody has to give up anything. Nobody has to formally do any contracts. Nobody has to do anything weird. Nobody has to relinquish any, clout within their organization. Nobody has to share any wealth. We're talking about organizations that are supposed to serve the public, okay? Whether or not they have membership dues or not, But when people join together to solve a common problem, and when organizations can work parallel with one another, that is stronger. You're just putting more strings in the rope chain, or you're just doubling up on those fibers that create the rope that weaves the web and weaves a tight one. And so it frustrates me to all get out that we talk about silos within organizations. Well, there's silos within not-for-profit and civic organizations, and there's this and there's that and there's this. It's so frustrating also because there's stuff going on every day of the week. Every day of the week, multiple events, multiple this, multiple that. There is no way that one person can keep up with all of that, attend every event. You're taking time from your families. I believe in quality of life. I believe in the family unit, and we as professionals run around like chickens without our heads, going to this network and event, that network and event. And guess what? The same people are at each of these separate events. So why not join forces and just create something even better and stronger and save a lot of time, save a lot of money, and make it just better, and more fruitful? And I really think that there's a way to do that, and that the leaderships of various organizations need to put their heads together and to do that without all the committees and the structures and the this and that and the other. I just think that we overcomplicate things to the point where we end up cutting off our noses to spite our faces. So that's how I feel about that.
Well, clearly you've never thought about this before, and you have no opinion.
I have no opinion on that one. Oh yeah, I do. big one. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's a hot button. Yeah. I see it every day, you know. It's like, geez, there's got to be an easier and simpler way to do this, you know.
So do you have any sort of, like, you know, tricks or ways of talking to people that sort of, like, help smooth over some of these, you know, interests?
Can you repeat that?
So is in order to get people to show up to bar camp, for example, was there a way that you sort of, you know, targeted the message you were pushing out to appeal to their, you know, baser needs that to get around their defenses, you know?
Right, yeah, and you're talking about building the bar camp community here, and actually last year, you know, it was just a matter of just putting it out there on Twitter and out on Facebook and just doing the normal stuff, building a Facebook page. But then you're talking, now, you know, as a year has passed, you know, building that community has to be a little bit more proactive. So what I've done is, for the past year, I concentrated my efforts on, I'm a list person. I use Twitter lists like an addict. Twitter, to me, it's just, it can't be Twitter if you don't, you know, separate your people and be able to isolate your conversations, you know. So, and the same on Facebook. I'm huge on Facebook lists. You know, I have, 2,500 people or whatever on Facebook. I don't even know. I don't pay attention to the numbers, but, you know, I vet everybody, you know. I'm just not into just, I don't play that game with the numbers, you know. And if I feel that, you know, I have a friend request and I'm just something that I just don't think that there's any viable reason why to connect that way, I don't, you know. And it's not to be rude or anything. It's just that I'm very, very selective with who, you know. Even though there's 2,500 people there, I mean, that's a lot of people, you know. But I go through and I put everybody in different categories because, number one, when I have an event, blasting a whole bunch of people that have no interest in anything or in what you're blasting is rude, you know. So I don't do that. I like to separate my demographics whenever I talk about anything. So what I've done over the past year is separate my tech people, my creative people, people who would be interested in bar camp. And so, you know, I've just been really focusing my efforts on building that community and reaching out, picking up the phone, calling people, going to meetups, even though, you know, I'm not a developer, but I'll go to a meetup just to say, hey, you know, this and this is going on. And they have no idea, you know, they have no idea that there's a bar camp over here. So, and you do have to be proactive in building your community, you know.
So would the lesson then be to sort of meet them on their turf? And that's one way to really get them to listen?
Yeah, yeah, you do. You have to step out there. Well, it's not even about getting them to listen. It's about awareness, really. You know, because I think anybody that bar camp would serve would certainly be interested in attending, you know. So I think that that's a no-brainer. But if they don't know about you, then they're not going to be there. You know, they're going to end up going to another bar camp and finding out that there's one in Southwest Florida, like Adam G said, and say, well, there's one in Southwest Florida. You know, so that's not cool either. And I think that's not serving the community. And so if there wasn't some kind of outreach, then that would be poor, you know.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, take this, remove the word bar camp and now insert, you know, my quilting meetup. And it's the same lesson, right? If you want to grow your community, you have to, you know, you have to stop navel gazing and start sort of meeting people and, you know, reaching out to them and showing them that you care first before you start just saying, like, follow me, check me out, subscribe to this, go to this event, right?
Yeah, and it's so easy, I think, for us to get caught up and forget about that because we're so used to doing. It's not only that. I mean, you're a young guy, okay? So it's not even, you know, we're talking about digital natives, and you're not, but you're close. But you know, we're talking about. It's even in our DNA, for God's sake, probably. We're so used to the old way of, you know, issuing a press release, doing that sometimes, even for me, even though I have a lot of awareness in this, it's almost like it becomes second nature to react like that. So, you know, you have to be really conscious of the way that you react to situations and you know, not fall into that same old, you know, let's just push it out here, push it out there, which all can happen, but it's half the effort, because the real effort comes with the connections, the in real life, the personal connections, whether or not it's on the phone or whatever, but the personal connections and the stepping out and saying, hi, I just wanted to introduce myself, and I noticed you were a tech in this field, and I wanted you just to let you know about BarCamp, and, you know, and build your community that way, you know, and invite them to a meeting or whatever, you know. You know, we're having our roundup. I'm going to go ahead and have a roundup, a leadership roundup, but it's open to the public for anybody who wants to learn about BarCamp. Why would I shut off? And this is what we were talking about before with organizations. So we're having a leadership roundup, okay? I'm seeing who in the community is interested in being part of the leadership team for BarCamp 2011, okay? BarCamp South Florida 2011. So why would I close that out and say, oh, only if you're interested in leadership? You know, it should be open for everybody who wants to find out about what all this BarCamp talk is. You know, so and it is going to be open for that. You don't have to want to be on the leadership team to come to this roundup. So.
Yeah. I mean, and I think you also, you said something else important there too, which is when you send that initial message, it should start with, I see you, I recognize you, I've spent at least 1 minute, if not five, trying to figure out who you are before I just sent you this message, right?
Exactly, yeah, and when I get a Facebook friend request, before I friend request, I go onto their personal profile page, and depending on what their security or their privacy settings are, you know, it allows me to see or not see anything. Most often, you know, people do have appropriate things on their info page exposed for public viewing, and that's a wise thing. If you're in business, you should have just that, at least a little bit about what you do or who you're working for, and so that a person has an idea of what it is that you do, because I do that as busy as I am, and I save all of that stuff for at night when I'm too tired to do anything else. You know, but I go through and I look at everybody and I put them into their little place, so that when the time comes, when I want to do outreach, I can pull up my tech list on Facebook, and I can contact all those people on it.
Well, and you actually have a really great YouTube video you did about that specific subject. You sort of just said, like, this is the process I go through when I try to figure out if someone is real on Facebook and whether I should, you know, accept their friend request, right? And you do a lot of stuff like that, right?
Well, that was actually on the fly, and it was out of pure frustration, because I think that was a year ago, I was just hit by all kinds of bogus accounts. I mean, I see all these friend requests, and I pull them all up, they're all bogus accounts, and they're all probably issued by the same individual, as we both know, you know, so it was like, you know, this just, you know, and all I think of, it doesn't make me mad, because I know what to do with them, ignore, but what makes me upset is that a lot of my friends and my family, you know, I have sisters, I have cousins, there's a lot of innocents out there, you know, and that's what's so frustrating, because then I have to stop working and make sure they're protected, so I can't be the Facebook police for all these people that I love and care about, you know. So I just did that video out of pure frustration. I was like, look, these are bogus accounts, and this is how you can tell it's a bogus account.
But for me, those videos that I did just to demonstrate to one person end up being some of my most viewed, because they're relevant to so many people aside from the one who I made it for. And it's interesting too, you know, you talk about like the bogus Facebook accounts. Just yesterday, somebody posted something, one of these, you know, these Facebook rumors fly around, Facebook's going to start charging money, or Facebook's changing the security settings, or who knows what it is. But then we get into the conversation, and then she says, yeah, my mom just got hacked by a Nigerian scammer, and her Facebook and her email account are completely gone. And it's like, if you know, people have to realize that there are people out there who are using these tools for something else too. So it's you always have to be a little cautious, and you always have to be a little, you know, protective. But the other side of that is, don't become a hermit.
Right. I have what, 17 email accounts, of course, you know, because I have so many different events, and so I do the Gmail account for all of them. Of course, they all feed into my own, you know, single account for a quick view. You know, I've had to hyper organize. People ask me all the time, how do you do all that? And it's just called, it's just hyper organization, you know, and I have to channel everything into very specific channels so that I can go into those individual accounts and just isolate that specific conversation. But like all of my event stuff, go to one Gmail account. You know, I have everything filtered in, and then of course my company accounts are just for my business, you know, and so you can't merge stuff. My social networks have another account. And on my social network account, that's my oldest account, and I have gotten on some kind of list. And so even though my email accounts are very, very clean, because I've taken extra steps and making sure that that happens, and because I also don't fall prey to bogus emails, you know, even that one account, once in a while, I'll get that scammy stuff, and but see, what I, you know, what they don't know, that you go into your, it's so quick, it's a three-step process. You go into options, you copy, and you paste it into block, and you get rid of them, and you never receive their emails again. And after a while, and it might take several months, after a while, you will eventually stop receiving them until, you know, something else happens. But a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, so Michelle, I mean, I think we've had a great time talking here, and we could certainly keep doing it. But I want to make sure we give some people some calls to action, and you know, if they want to find out more, where can they go? And then say a couple things about maybe, you know, how to get involved more in Southwest Florida in general. So tell us, where do we find you? And maybe just give us one or two, because I know we could probably find you in several places.
All you have to do is Google Ghost Executive, and you'll find me in multiple places. The place of your choice, you can locate me, but you can always email me at michelle@ghostexecutivegroup.com.
And Michelle with one L, right?
Michelle with one L at ghostexecutivegroup.com. And then on ghostexecutivegroup.com, you'll find us on the web. And on Facebook, it's Michelle Lorito Chase. And Twitter, it's at Ghost Executive. We have, if you want to check out the bar camp, of course, it's still a lot of last year's stuff, and that's getting ready to be updated. And you can just visit bar camp, S as in Sam, W, F as in Frank, L, so that's Southwest Florida, barcampsouthwestflorida.com. And which, that might be changing, but if it does, it won't matter, because it'll just bump right over. So don't worry about that. But that's where we are as far as BarCamp. We also have a Facebook and a Twitter account, and everything is BarCamp SWFL. So
and is the social media club? Do you guys do that like every month? Do you do it somewhat regularly, or?
Yeah, we're going to be, we actually slowed down. We're actually getting ready to probably to have another big, you know, steering committee meeting, and kind of get our schedule straight for the new year. And we'll be back probably to two monthly meetings here for February.
Great. And is there anything we're forgetting? Do you want to mention your Ghost Executive TV?
Yeah, well, Ghost Executive TV, we're streaming live. It's going to start, they're going to start taking place on Thursdays at 10 a.m. And they're just going to be an hour live broadcast. Of course, those are all going to be viewable and archived for later viewing, and available on YouTube also. So, and you shared some neat ideas with me that we may end up even in other, you know, syndicating that content and into other areas too. So we're going to be focusing on not social media, but a lot about economic development and how technology and social media can really assist people with transitions, you know, with being unemployed. And there's a lot of people out there that are unemployed. You know, we already talked about that in the beginning of the podcast. And you know, again, it's a mindset thing. Again, it's just learning how to use and leverage the web, the internet, in safe ways to be able to extend your reach and find your job, you know, and for employers also to find their job. So there's going to be, it's going to be a lot, the show. Sometimes it's going to focus on back to work Southwest Florida, and sometimes it isn't. But whatever it is, it's going to be rich in information, and I have quite a nice guest list formed. So if anybody has a desire to and has something to talk about, then they're more than welcome to reach me or contact me and say, hey, I'd love to be a guest on your show, you know. So
fantastic. So, you know, the other reason why I wanted to have you on, because you're sort of representing Fort Myers and Southwest Florida, is to say, you know, we have Florida Creatives sort of placeholders for Southwest Florida. So, for example, we have floridacreatives.com/southwest. And as I pull that up here, I will give you a little update about it. There are, on our website, only 13 people there. But I know for sure on Facebook, we've got well over 200 people that are following that page. And, you know, maybe if there's someone out there who wants to organize a Florida Creatives meetup, or just start a discussion, or, you know, say, hey, I'm looking for someone who's a great photographer. Do you know anyone? That would uh-huh. be a really great place to start. And we also do LinkedIn. We have, for all of our Florida Creative subgroups, we have a LinkedIn page, a Facebook, and then our website has a group on it. And where the heck is the members page of this? I'm trying to find the LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So the LinkedIn is not very many people either. It's 5 people right now, but 5 people who, those are all organic.
Southwest Florida, right?
Southwest Florida. Those are all organic people. Those 5 people said, I want to be associated with Southwest Florida. The main group has several hundred on LinkedIn. So the main group of Florida Creatives may be a better place to sort of like ask a question, you know, try to find a resource. Uh-huh. We've got, let me give you the number here, 300 and something people that are signed into Florida Creatives on Facebook. So definitely some good resources out there. You know, if you're into that whole crowdsourcing thing, I know a lot of people have been talking lately about this new service called Quora, but from what I understand, Quora is just, I want to ask the world this question. What if you just want to ask people within, you know, 20 miles of where you live this question? Florida Creatives could be a good place to do that.
Yeah, it would. And I love your community, and you have a phenomenal Florida Creatives community, and that the way that you've allowed the separate demographics to go ahead and establish their own community is amazing. And I know Southwest Florida needs to have some leadership with that, and I'm going to go ahead and try to help you and reach out to my creative people that I know here and see who wants to go ahead and start having meetups. I mean, I know a few would probably just love the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to do that for you. I might even put you up there on the blog somewhere maybe and try to get that done for you too, and get your, maybe you have a widget too, don't you, that I could stick on my blog?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have like banners, and I could make one special for Southwest Florida too, if anybody's looking for something like that.
Very good, very good. I know, I love it. Your site looks awesome, and it's filled with information. You've done a tremendous job on that. So that's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow to be a very big entity itself, I think, there, Ryan. So you set a great foundation for that. So that's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're definitely a great poster child for building community here in Florida, and actually, you know, anywhere, you know. And it's like I love to see people building good, strong communities, and I learn a lot from that, you know, and it's like, and that's what I love doing too. So it's a nice thing you have going there.
Thank you very much. And since we have mentioned Social Media Club, and I think you're going to be involved with this, there's a Social Media Club event coming up on February the 12th at Rollins College, and it's actually
Drupal Camp.
Yeah, it's part of Drupal Camp. So if you check out fldrupalcamp.org, as in Florida Drupalcamp.org, it's $10 for the day. We have a couple of rooms that are dedicated to using the Drupal content management system and a couple of rooms that are dedicated to working with social media tools. I know there are going to be some fantastic talks. You can find all the information there. And if you hear this before February 12th, please go check it out. It's going to be lots of fun. You get free lunch. You get a t-shirt. We're going to have an after party afterwards down the street. It's going to be really great times.
I know. I'm really looking forward. I felt so honored and privileged to be contacted to participate in that. So again, it's going to be all about community and collaboration. My two cents. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Great. So I just want to let people know that the Florida Creatives Podcast is here. We've been doing this for just about 4 years now. If you're interested in coming on, if you got a story to share, we would love to have you. You can contact us through floridacreatives.com would be a great place to come and share, you know, your stories of growing communities in Florida. And we can find us all over the place, like we've already mentioned, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We have, obviously, our iTunes. If you want to go and leave us a nice review on the iTunes, we would love that. Or if you're more into open source, we've got the Miro guide as well. Really, really cool stuff. I want to say thank you one more time to Michelle Laredo Chase for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be hearing more out of Southwest Florida soon, and we'll look forward to Bar Camp.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be seeing you, I guess, at Drupal Camp, so that'll be cool.
Great.
We'll talk more there. So that's good.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.